top of the morning to ya. I'm coming to you out of Dallas, Texas. My name is Matt Monero, and I am the host of the I Need More Money radio show. Every Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time from our studios in Dallas. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Monero. You can hashtag your money questions on Twitter at hashtag I Need More Money. I've got Patrick with me in the studio. Patrick, good morning.
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
Look, guys, the show has a very simple purpose. We want to take the topic of money and we want to take it from being swept underneath the rug to putting it on top of the dinner table, where we actually talk about money, not with fear, not with shame, not with guilt, but with optimism, with reality, with ambition. We try to figure out ways to help you make more money and get your money right. Because as I say every week, if you don't get your money right, sooner or later, you're not going to get your life right. They do go hand in hand. You cannot do one without the other. So let's get to talking about money. Here's what I want to talk about, man. I don't know. Has it played out the way it was supposed to play out? I mean, really, when we envisioned our lives, is this the way it was supposed to be? You know, I mean, I can remember graduating college. I graduated college in 1991, being over at somebody's house. They're having a big end of the year party, big kegger. And I remember sitting on this stone wall. I went to a dumpy school in Providence, Rhode Island called Johnson and Wales University. It was the only school I got into. I didn't know. Nobody gave me any help in getting into schools. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. It was a cooking school. Still is a cooking school. They got some pretty famous people have graduated from Johnson and Wales. Emeril Lagasse, the chef who uses the term BAM, he's a Johnson and Wales grad. This other guy, Tyler Florence, celebrity chef, he graduated from Johnson and Wales. But I knew the minute I got there, I didn't want to be a chef. That wasn't for me. But it was the only school I got into. And it was probably the only school I would have graduated from, to tell you the truth. It was just perfect. We never had classes on Fridays, so that was always good for a guy like me who didn't care about school. That was like, that meant that Wednesday was like a Thursday. Friday was like a Friday, Saturday was a Saturday. It meant that we really had four-day weekends. Really? That's good for college, right? And the good news is I think the total bill cost, I think it was like $3,500 a year, to go there. And I still graduated with $7,500 worth of student debt, but in comparison to what kids graduate with today, it was peanuts. Anyway, I digress. The reason for the topic is I was sitting on this wall, and all of us were discussing how successful we were going to be by the time we were 25 or time we were 30. Everybody was a millionaire by 30. Right? We were all going to go out into the world and we were going to be the Gordon Geckos, man, the Wall Street guys. We were going to kill it. The reality is it didn't play out like that for most of us. Sure as heck didn't play out like that for me. There was no millionaire by 30. I was 5 years into my business by the time I was 30 years old. I was dead broke, trying to survive, just scrapping and scraping, trying to make a living to put food on the table to keep the doors of this business open. God, it was no millionaire by 30. How is yours shaped up? I mean, if I was to tell you that this is what your money situation was going to look like, would you have envisioned it this way? Or did you envision that you were going to have more money? Did you envision that you were going to have more hair? That you were going to be in better shape? That you would have a bigger house or fancier cars? Or has it played out better than you thought it was going to play out? Because let's be straight about it. Not usually. Most people are under what they anticipated for themselves. What if I asked you, how was your life roadmap played out? Does your life look like what you envisioned it when you were 18 or 21? That's the question for today. Because the beautiful part about what I'm talking about is it doesn't matter where you are. You can still change it. You can make it better. I am living proof that if you don't lose the hustle, if you stay after it day after day after day, if you keep your vision although time will march on and you will be chasing time and time may get ahead of you, you can still catch up. So even if you're further behind than you wanted to be at this age, whatever that age is, 21, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, I'll be 47 on Sunday, 57, 67, and I'll go so far as take it out to 77 or 87, you can still make up for lost time and change it. Because the reality is, if I told you that you had 6 months to live, what would you do? I guarantee you, you would take that vacation. You would spend more time with the kids. You would throw the ball in the backyard. You would hug your wife more. You would call your mother and tell her you love her. So go ahead and start doing it today. When you look at it that way, Anthony Robbins, the great motivational speaker, used to say, when you look in the mirror and you know that bankruptcy is right around the corner from you, that's a wonderful place to be, because then if you can accept the fact that you have to go bankrupt, then you can accept the fact that you don't have to go bankrupt. And so I'm telling you this morning, if you can accept the fact that your life isn't exactly where you wanted it to be, or your money situation isn't exactly where you want it to be, you can change it. Because that's a threshold moment, a watershed moment for you in your life. But don't beat yourself up over it, folks. You can change it. And if you are ahead of where you wanted to be, can we please make the commitment that we're not going to go back? Can we commit that it wasn't a fluke, that you made it, or you're happier, or you've achieved more than you thought? You probably earned it, man. You probably deserve what you got. So let's make the commitment that we're not going to go back today. Let's get back to what happens if it's not the case, though. If we wish that we were more. If we wish that we had more money, that we had a better life. What are we going to do about it? On next week's show, I'm going to tell you the roadmap to six figures. I'm working on it now. It's going to be a blog article and maybe even a little booklet, but it's the roadmap to a six-figure income. I actually don't believe it's all that hard to get to a six-figure income. I really don't care what career you're in. And I'm gonna go through this process on next week's show. So remember, that's next Thursday. And yes, I'm pontificating about next week's show, but it will be next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here. If you have questions for us, I need you to hashtag them to us at hashtag IneedMoreMoney. Today, what we're talking about is, how do we change it? If the vision that we had wasn't what has played out, what do we do about it? How do we change it? How do we make it better? We're going to spend the next 3 seconds talking about that. And I'm going to give you my version of some action steps that you can actually take immediately today. We've already gone through one of them in this first segment, in which we talk about visualization, where you actually look at, what if I had only 6 months to live? What are the things that I would do? I know it's a little bit of a cliche topic, but it is really on my mind. You know, most of you know that I lost my brother-in-law last year at 46 years old, 4 kids, a wife, no health insurance, no life insurance, and $100 in the bank. You know, when he was on his deathbed, boy, we tried to get through that bucket list. We tried to get through that bucket list to help him accomplish those things. You don't have to necessarily be on your deathbed to do that, though. You could visualize the fact of, I just got diagnosed with some bad news, and I only have 6 months to live. What is it that I would do? You know, what would I do? For me, I know that I would get to the beach. Now, I live in Dallas, Texas. There ain't no beach in Dallas, Texas. I love the beach. My birthday's February. I'm a Pisces. Pisces is a fish. Fish love water. So I want to get into the water. So I know that's exactly where I would go. I would, without question, I would rent a house on the beach. And I would spend my last 6 months on the beach with my kids. I'd pull them out of school. I don't care what grade they're in. I don't care if they had to repeat the grade. I would yank my kids out of school and we would go to the beach. Now, you could say to yourself, well, Monero, if that's what you want to do, why don't you do it now? I don't really have the answer for you. I don't have the answer why I wouldn't do it now. Maybe because I'm not so unhappy with my life. I actually like where I am in my life. I've made up the gap. Wherever I was short, that number that I had in my head by 30, I picked it up. I made up the gap. It took me a hell of a lot longer than I thought, but I made up the gap. And so I'm not unhappy with it. I just know that's where I would go. I know exactly what beach I would go to. I know exactly what I'd be doing when I got there. And that's how I'd be spending my last 6 months. But my life is happy that I would want to do it now. But yours might be. You might want to go ahead and do that now. And if that's the case, I support you 100%. But let me ask you a question. If you wanted to rent that beach house and it costs you $5,000 a month to do it, $10,000 a month, whatever the number is, could you do it? Or would you end up dying broke? Yeah, we're back. Segment two of the I Need More Money radio show, and we're going to get this place popping. I'm bringing on Tommy, my first caller of the day. Tommy, welcome to the I Need More Money show, buddy. How you doing?
Man, I'm great. I go by Good Time Tommy. You go
back there,
I go back
to
Good Time Tommy.
Good. I'm doing great, Good Time Tommy. I know you, my friend. I'm happy to have you on the show. I'm very appreciative that you took the time to call. I know that you got great ideas going on. I know that you and Coach Burt fire up the think tank from time to time. So let's get going, man. Let me bring you in. What you got on your mind, buddy?
Well, man, I was going to track down your cell phone because I started, since we're friends now on Facebook, I see what you're doing, and I love to think big. You know, I love Cardone. I love self-improvement. I love the idea of thinking bigger. So how you can help me is I'm a local real estate agent, and I've got a team. But I'm trying to get out of that mindset of being a skilled person and into an entrepreneur. I'm sure at one time you were probably calling people and just trying to sell finance. Are you doing that today? You just have a team of people that I want to know, how do I transform from working the day-to-day grind in my business to just constantly working on my business? Or is that just a myth? Am I always going to grind it out in my business?
Man, it's a very tough transition, right? Because two things happen. Number one, have you been promoted to your level of incompetence, right? Because that's really what happens to most of us. Number two, do we have the ability to lead a team? Do we have that skill set, or are we just the technician, right? Are we just the agent who knows how to sell property, or can we actually build a business of other people selling property? And then the third piece, which is probably the scariest piece, is can I pull myself out of the revenue stream? Because every deal I close that I don't have to pay a commission on, it's more money to the bottom line. And some businesses actually need that to survive, right? Those are probably the three categories. Which of those jump out at you, in your mindset, Tommy? What are you thinking about in those three?
Man, you throw a lot at me. Could you quickly go back to the revenue?
Sure.
The revenue concerns me.
Sure. So the first one was the first one was, you know, have I been promoted to my level of incompetence? In other words, you know, is my only skill set actually for me processing credit applications for you actually showing and selling homes, right? Or can I actually lead
a
team?
I really feel like it is such a contact sport, and if we can just get more people that I'm in front of, or my other, I've got another girl that's really good. If we could get more people in front of us, it would be easier. But I would like to think bigger than that. I wish I didn't have to do anything except grow this business with people, because I feel like my gift is inspiring people.
Nice.
And
yeah.
I guess what I struggle with is how do I, you called it a technician. That's a great way to put this. How do I promote my message from just a technician to an entrepreneur? Because I see that's what you're doing. I mean, are you still calling people, or are you just promoting your company?
Yeah, I mean, I still run my company. I mean, very, 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 very involved in the systems and the day-to-day and the HR and the management of the business. But the actual technician part, the idea of processing the credit applications, is not something that I do here anymore. My job is to be the messenger. My job is to be the face of the business and go out there and do what I really think I have a natural ability to do, which is, you know, cultivate opportunities. And the reason for it is because, you know, I mean, I'll grind harder than most people to whatever I put up my mind to it. So the challenge is, though, it was hard to move from that. And I was late to the game, Tommy, on it. I had a marketing guy who used to tell me all the time, man, you need to be the face of this business. And I said, you're crazy. I'm not going to do it. You're nuts. In fact, I fired him because he kept harping me on it. But guess what? He was right. He kept saying, somebody's got to step out and be the face of this business, and you need to be that guy. And I pushed back. And I pushed back because
that's what I want to do. I want to be the face, like what you're saying. And
dude, man, you got to go do it then. Dude, you got a great personality. You have this wonderful connection to people, and you love the hustle because you love the, I love what you use, the term you use, combat. So dude, you got to go do both, man. And then what you need to do is, do you have an executive assistant, Tommy? Do you have a person who handles your calendar and returns your phone calls and all that stuff?
I do, but she's kind of morphed into a mini me where she is becoming like my top salesperson. So
you need to let her go be that top salesperson, and then you need to backfill and hire that, because you're in a position where you cannot afford not to have an assistant. The minute you become the face of that business, you got to have somebody handling the stuff that you are going to miss, because, you know, it's like we all hear, and Coach Bird, our buddy Coach Bird, talks about it too. You really need to focus on the one or two or three things that you do very well to maximize your success. And most of us are focusing on the six or eight things that we stink at, right?
Wow, that's HBAs, baby. One last
high value activities. Yeah. Yeah.
Your social media, man, it's very impressive. How many people do that? Is it just you? Are you doing that? Because I want to write a book. I've got this concept, and it's called status sales. That's my belief. The higher your status is, the more you're going to sell, the easier you're going to sell. So how long did it take you to write The Grit, and how much content are you putting out on your own on your social media platforms? Or do you have, how many people are helping?
Yeah, so we have a team of people that help us. We have IT, we have video production, we have social media, we have myself. And we put together concepts. The primary content for our social media push right now is the videos. We have over 1,000 videos on YouTube. We have obviously CF Nation, which is the network. And then we have a few other technical books that we put out before The Grit, and they're grabbing content from all of that stuff. It's a big deal, man. It's a full-time job. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. But it's starting to work for us, you know? I mean, every day leads from social media for people that say, I'm interested in some equipment, give me a call. Who should I talk to? Hey, here's what I'm looking at. Every day now we get it. And so it's worth every ounce of effort. But, man, it's a big push. And it makes a lot of people mad, too, I guarantee you. There's a lot of people who unfollow us and say, oh, my God, like, who is this guy? Why is he promoting himself so much? Man, you got to get past the haters. Cardone says it best, right? You can piss off 50% of the country and still be president.
I know. Well, man, I love what you're doing. It's really kind of reinforced what I want to do. And, man, I really want to meet you one day. I don't know if I'm going to have to fly to Texas or if I'm going to have to stalk you at your office.
No, I'm going to get to Nashville soon. I'm going to get to Nashville because Coach Burt and I need to do something else. We need to do a project, a webinar. We need to do something big and nasty together that we've talked about. So we need to blow something up. And when I get there, you and I hang out too. So, Tommy, I appreciate your call, man.
Man,
I appreciate
you. I can't wait. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you,
talk
man.
To you soon.
You have a great day.
Bye. Hey, guys, that's Good Time Tommy Davidson, man. He's a friend of mine from Tennessee. Called in with a great question. He's trying to transition from the technician to the leader. It's a tough one, but guess what? You got to be the technician. I think you got to be the technician first to be able to do that, because you have to be able to lead by knowing how to do the job. If you want to lead your people, you got to do the work they do too. Stick around. For all you business owners out there, that last call, the ultimate topic of how do you transition in your business from the technician to the owner, to the leader, to the face of the business. Tommy Davidson called in and asked the ultimate question, when do I do the transition? You know, there's not an automatic answer to it. I've done the transition, and I probably did it later than I should have. And it's a tough transition, particularly in the small business world, because where's the revenue going to come from, right? You are the technician who's been closing deals, and now you're going to stop closing deals, and you're going to go do something that probably is an expense for the organization without your revenue. But let me tell you something. If you got a real business, that's the litmus test. Sooner or later, a real business has to allow the leader, the founder, the voice, the face to get out in front of it. And if you work for an organization like that and you don't have that face, maybe you could be that face. Maybe that's what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you should do it. And you can do it for the business or you can do it for yourself. But sooner or later, the personal branding piece, which we've done as a topic on this show before, becomes really important. Hey, we're going to start with another caller here. I'd like to go to Patrick. Patrick, welcome to the I Need More Money show. My name is Matt Monero. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Matt. I'm happy to be on.
Thanks. What's on your mind today?
Nothing much. I just woke up like 2 hours ago and headed to class right now.
Let's get down to it, buddy. Do you need more money or are things pretty good for you?
You can always use a little bit more money.
How about a lot more money? How about if we need a lot more money?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely use a lot more money. I'm an actor. So
what are you doing for money? Yep.
It's always
and
more secure.
Are you getting?
If you have more money.
Well, let me ask you this: Are you getting many gigs? I mean, how are you doing as an actor?
Well, right now I'm working on a workshop production of Dracula that's unpaid.
Okay.
So, currently no money flowing in my artistry life. But
so how are you paying the bills? What's the rev stream? Where do you make the money? Where do you make money to pay the bills?
Well, I have a job outside of school. I work for a theater company outside of school that, you know, pays minimum wage, which is nice. But it would benefit to have more money.
Dude, what's nice about minimum wage? Come on, man. Well, what's nice about minimum wage?
Well, I mean, it's different because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, so minimum wage is much lower in Cleveland than it is in New York. But still, I mean, the price of living in New York is so more expensive than it is in Cleveland. So,
yeah,
you know, there's you know, positives and negatives to everything, but, you know, minimum wage here is like $9.50, $9.25 now, almost 10.
Right, right. So it's under $400 a week. So 400 a week times four is $1,600 a month. You know, my friend, with all due respect, it's a pretty low level of living. I mean, you have to admit that $1,600 a month times 12 months is, call it roughly $18,000 a year. There's not much in the way of income tax paid off of that, so you're keeping most of your money. But $18,000 in New York City, I mean, come on, man. You're busted broke.
Absolutely. I think minimum wage should definitely be higher.
Oh, minimum wage doesn't matter. It's an irrelevant number. It's what can Patrick do to make more money for Patrick and reach Patrick's potential. The government, through minimum wage or any of those programs, is never going to help you, Patrick, because they're never going to be able to put a program together that provides enough for a talented guy like yourself to actually make it. They will always keep the world poor through minimum wage and government programs. The question is, how is my man Patrick going to get his butt on a nationally televised show that pays him every week, that then goes into syndication, and Patrick can sip drinks on the beach and still get paid like Jerry Seinfeld is getting paid? That's what
that
I need for
dream.
You.
That's the
right?
dream.
Well, come on. That's what we're talking about on this show, man. Let's start dreaming and let's start making up time. Let's condense time and start living that dream today, baby. That's what we're talking about today. So
absolutely.
Who do you know that's really doing what you want to do and getting paid for it? Give me a name of somebody that you personally know and you say to yourself, man, if I could do what that guy or gal was doing, life would be better for me.
Honestly, I look at some of the professors that I have, you know, and worked with. I love that.
And you like the way they're living.
They have this, they have this security blanket of, you know, having education behind them, but also having theater companies on the side, and they're still able to explore in our art, in our form, and educate younger students, you know, the new generation of theater makers and creators.
And you could see yourself doing what they're doing. You would be satisfied. You'd be happy. That seems like a fulfilling life for you, Patrick. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just asking that question. That life looks appealing to you.
Actually, I mean, it does look appealing to me. But ultimately, the goal is to be a working actor. You know, the dream is to be a working actor. So, you know, that's with no side job, no nothing. You know.
To me, the acting game, to me, the acting game is a numbers game, though. So let me ask you a couple questions. On a weekly basis, and let's call it 7 days, do they do auditions 7 days a week in the acting world in New York City, or is it only a 5 or 6 day deal? They do 7 days a week.
They
do. So over a 7 day period of time, and let's look at the last 7 days, not an average. Let's just look the last 7 days. How many auditions did you go on?
Zero, because I'm already in production.
Because you're already in production, but it's an unpaid production. They give you the freedom. They would have to give you the freedom to go on an audition. Yes, or would they not?
I'm sure if I, you know, told my director and production staff in advance, I could probably go on an audition. But, you know, with us coming, you know, 2 weeks into tech, it would raise the tension between the actor and director relationship.
So what are you getting out of this this production thing? Are you getting knowledge? Are you getting skills? Or is it? I mean, or are you already above what you're learning on this deal?
Well, it's always good in the acting field to collaborate with different people, you know, to get your name out there, and you know, to work well with a director, so that way the director may recognize you, you know, or maybe that director knows somebody, or you know.
Yeah.
It's all about marketing yourself and, you know, putting yourself.
Well, it's really all about getting paid, though. Really what it is it's all about getting paid. I mean, all of it's about getting paid. It's about marketing yourself. It's about contacts. It's about networking. It's about dreaming. But at the end of the day, you do all of that stuff to get paid. I mean, that's just the way it plays out. What's going on here is one of the most difficult aspects of being an artist, whether it's an actor, whether it's a painter. By the way, I think salespeople are artists. I think...
yes, absolutely we are. We sell our brand. We sell our face. We sell our name.
You bet. And so the biggest difficulty is the ability to actually transition from doing it for the art and doing it for the back pocket. And a lot of artists have difficulty making that. They feel guilty about getting paid big money for doing the artwork. They feel like they've sold out. They feel like they became commercialized, right? That they became part of the general population. Man, those days are over. Everybody's in it to get paid. So, Patrick, here's what I would suggest to you, and I know you didn't ask me for this advice, but let me just give it to you anyway, because there's other people that are listening that may benefit from this. You can no longer go 7 days without an audition, or two, or three, or four. You must have an audition, multiple auditions over a seven-day period of time. Because the fact of the matter is, my friend, if you ain't leveraging these relationships quickly, you may just have wasted major opportunities. For every audition that you don't take because of this production that you're involved in, it could miss out on this amazing connection, network, or opportunity to get paid. The second thing I need you to do, Patrick, is I actually do want you to focus on money. I really want you to focus on money more so than the art form. And I believe you can do both. But I need you to put money a little bit more in the forefront of your mind, because 18 grand, you're just prolonging the bankruptcy. you will eventually have to go bankrupt because you can't live in New York City, or it will cause so much other stress or pain that I need you to focus on the money. So two things, my friend. I'd love you to call me back down the road and tell me. I need you to go on multiple auditions over a 7-day period of time, and I need you to put money back in the forefront of your mind. And look, I would make the suggestion to you is, how do you make $250,000 a year as an actor? I know that sounds crazy, but if you miss that and you only made $125,000, life would be a heck of a lot better than minimum wage. So, Patrick, I wish you the best of luck. Will you keep me informed of how it's going, man?
Absolutely. I will, for sure.
Okay, buddy. Take care of yourself. Till the next time we talk. Thanks. Yeah, the I Need More Money radio show is firing on all cylinders today. It's amazing. We had some amazing callers here, two very different callers. The first caller is talking about, how do I get out of being the technician of my business and getting into the actual visionary, the face, the owner, the leader of my business? And then second caller, Patrick, talks to us about being an artist and how does the artist make the transition from being broke artist into actually having a career where you can do what you love as an artist. I mean, artists need more money. It's just the way it is. I mean, the percentage of artists that actually make it and the percentage of artists who actually go broke being an artist, it's unbelievable how many actually fail. And I don't believe that the industry's problem. I think it's mostly their problem. So Patrick, in this segment four, I'm going to bring Patrick, our video production manager, on. Let's talk about this here for a little bit and try to recap for our audience today some of the takeaways for today. Give me one of the takeaways that you have for today.
Yeah, some of the takeaways in our last segment. You know, I was in that same position as an artist. I would work for free, do everything for free. And, you know, since I love art so much, I was just content with it. Like, I'm doing work. It's fun, but it's, you completely forget about the money side. And until you realize that, I don't know, you just kind of float through life, and it's a hole that you have to get out of.
Yeah, until you go broke.
Yeah.
Until you go broke doing it for free for somebody,
yeah,
right?
I've been through that entire sequence, and it's not fun at all. You'll have fun with it, but until something really bad happens or something changes in your life, you're going to really wish that you had more money.
So let's do it. Well, you that's your one takeaway. I'll do a takeaway, then you do a takeaway, then I'll do a takeaway. So I think one of the takeaways that I have from today's show is that time marches on. And, you know, we're either working to control time or time is doing its own thing. And so when we all have these dreams of what we're going to do by a certain age, sooner or later, you're going to get to that age.
Yeah.
And when you're at that age, you gotta do a little self-actualization and reflection and determine where am I? And I think when we do that, most of us will realize from a money standpoint and probably from a personal happiness standpoint that we're a little short. And so we have to have the belief that we can actually make up for that lost time. Go for it. Your takeaway.
Well, I wanna go back on that one. It's kind of when you're young, you set these big goals. And until you've reached that big goal, I think you kind of forget about everything else, and you forget about the smaller steps that need to be taken in order to reach that big goal. So I kind of feel that was kind of my problem, is if I wasn't hitting that big goal, I wasn't doing anything and I wasn't putting up an effort for it. So I think that's a good subject right there.
It is. It's important. It's important. I think a takeaway that I have from our buddy, Good Time Tommy, who called in, is, you know, his question was, when does someone transition from the technician to the face of the business? And there's multiple arguments on that. One of the arguments is that a business should never be created by a technician, because how does the technician know how to run the business? All they know how to do is be the technician, right? So the printer knows how to print, has no idea how to run a printing company. The tower knows how to tow vehicles, but has no idea how to run a towing company. And so there's an argument that says, you know, they always use Ray Kroc as the ultimate small business owner example. Ray Kroc never made hamburgers or French fries in a McDonald's ever. He always saw himself as the leader of that business, which, you know, the argument is that McDonald's has turned into the greatest small business ever created in the history of mankind, right?
Yeah.
And so I believe that there's a lot to that, but that's just not how it played out for me. I was the technician, right? And I think most small business owners are the technician. The question is, can we move from the technician to the actual owner? And that was Tommy's question. And I think at some point you have to do that. Really important.
Yeah. And I really hope he understands, you know, the effort it takes to actually be the face.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's not easy, and you put yourself out there. You know, on that note, Tommy asked about our social media push and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, I think people really have radically underestimated the importance of their own personal brand and using social media for their own thing. I mean, you know, Patrick in his acting career should be banging social media.
Yeah, even just YouTube, just constant videos. So
look at me. And it's so uncomfortable, right? We all freak out about it, but look at me. And then, like we talk about in the book, The Grit, not only do you have to do it once, but you have to do it over and over and over. So remember last week, or was it last week, where you took that Facebook picture and you posted on your Facebook page?
Yeah, I think it was.
But we didn't do it this week.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did it for.
Oh, good. There we go. Yeah, the key. It's like I say, your mama had it wrong. What you told you, the first step mattered. It does. And it's the third. It's the fourth. It's the fifth, right?
For sure. It's just about comfort. You might not be, going back to Patrick, you might not be comfortable going to auditions. But if you start in your own home, YouTube, by yourself, getting comfortable with the camera and everything, you know, maybe things will look up.
Yeah, but I mean, how can it really be your passion, man? If you're uncomfortable going on auditions, how can acting be your passion? It's part and parcel.
That's kind of true.
Just the way it plays out. It's like it's like you saying you're uncomfortable doing, you know, video production or graphic design work. I mean, that's the career. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't like doing it, then maybe it's the intention is all off, you know. So I would suggest that Patrick was all over the map, really. Mm-hmm. Right? He wanted to be he liked what his professor was doing, but then he wanted to be an actor. And he was talking about, you know, minimum wage in Ohio versus New York. I mean, come on.
That's what I mean. He's kind of just, I didn't say the word floating, but if you don't have any like big responsibilities, that's kind of what you're going to get stuck into. You're going to be content with having nothing.
It's great point. The great Grant Cardone says you need goals so big that your problems pale in comparison. Yeah. I just love that. Any other takeaways that you have for our audience for today?
I'm trying to think of some. I think I'm still not at that point in my life where I can say like, oh, I haven't reached this goal, because, you know, personally, I feel I'm kind of in a good position right now to really grow my craft. So
cool. Well, we're going to close out this segment here. Hey, for the listening audience, my name is Matt Monero. You can follow me on Twitter @MattMonero. Hashtag us questions on Twitter @#IneedMoreMoney. You can watch the video replay of this show on our network, cffnation.com. And you can follow that under the show heading of I Need More Money. You can see past episodes and all that. It also translates to a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher under the I Need More Money. I appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Until we talk next. Thanks.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.